Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tag Do Show. It's 3 o'clock p.m. in the eastern half of the United States. I don't know what it's like where you are, but we are being inundated by rain and more rain. We want to welcome you to our show. Our host and our guests are having technical difficulties getting on, but nonetheless, the show must go on. So we are going to welcome our guest, and we're going to welcome our host. Our host will be joining us shortly. And once he does, we will get the show on the road. Again, we are CAGDU, Capital Area Guide Dog Users. And we are grateful to be able to broadcast and talk to you about situations that are important to guide dog users across the country. And we should be joined by our host shortly. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we love technology. When it works, we love it very, very much. So our guest has joined us, and we're just waiting for our host to join us. I believe here he comes.
Yes, he is. Greetings. Welcome to CAGDU, about your dog and you. CAGDU is a show that we have guests talk about why you should get a guide dog, when you should get a guide dog, where you should get a guide dog, how you should get a guide dog. And our guests, when we get one, will share their experiences and how they went through the process of getting a guide dog and how that guide dog is enhancing their day-to-day livelihood. Greetings, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and this is CAGDU, about your dog and you. I got my first dog in June of 71, and that was 7 dogs ago. I had all shepherds. People always ask me, yes, I had all shepherds. I live in Washington, D.C., and a shepherd does me well in terms of backing people up. And unfortunately, sometimes it becomes a little problem, but I'd rather have a shepherd that say, hey, leave him alone, leave us alone. But anyway, this is CAGDU, about your dog and you. We're looking to have a guest come on. Soon.
She's on.
Okay.
She's in the green room.
All righty. Uh-huh. So, again, this is CAGDU, about your dog and you. I'm your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we will talk about how these wonderful guide dogs assist blind persons have a more productive and believe me, interesting life. You cannot step out your door with your guide dog and something interesting do not happen. So anyway, Ms. Renee will give us our lineup for today.
Well, of course, we always begin with stop dogging us around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a guide dog. And our guest is Cindy LeBon, and she appeared on CAGDU back in 27 August when she was preparing to go to Space Camp. Well, she's back with part two. How she survived and thrived at Space Camp at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama. So in our second half, we always look into Charlie's Corner. So back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty. So, you know, we always like to start our show off with stop dogging us around. And I'm just going to talk about when the changes of, I don't want to say the changing of the season, but during this particular time in October especially, we get ready to go into the holiday. And we'll talk more about the holiday. But in terms of paying attention to table scraps, food on your floor, these dogs, and I'm speaking to people with guide dogs now, but also go for people who have regular pets. You cannot be giving them human food. This human food is not good for dogs. I think you heard a lot about it was put out by one of the dog caring people. I forgot what organization, about some of the things that people have their dog eating, like chocolate and what's in chocolate that's bad for dogs and some of the other things. So please pay attention. I know you love your dog and you want to hug them. Especially people have guide dogs. They want to treat them like their children. And I'm amazed of the people that's single people that have guide dogs, blind people. There's so many of them. And that's like their family, their pet, their child. But you can't treat it like a little baby, okay? You can't give it the stuff that you give a baby or a human being. So on that note, I'm going to stop because I want to really get to our special guest with a lot of exciting things about this space camp. So anyway, Ms. Renee, and this is brought to you by Real-Time Pain and Relief, the best-selling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. And especially for us blind people that got guide dogs, we need that pain relief. All right, Ms. Renee, over to you and share with us the rundown for today.
Well, Cindy LaBon appeared on our show back in 27 August, and she was preparing to go to space camp. Well, she's back. And she survived and thrived at space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. So we are going to find out, for those of us who are earthbound like me, we're going to find out exactly what she experienced vicariously. So welcome, Cindy.
Welcome. Hi, Renee. Hi, Ray. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Hi, Renee.
Okay.
How are you?
All right. Now, Cindy, before you start, now we know you went with William Shatner in that $200,000 capsule.
I just took it out of my account in Gardenia's account.
Right.
I went.
So share with us what William Shatner probably experienced.
I'm going to tell you something. I have still not returned, but when I was calling in, I was having trouble because I was having phone issues because of rain, which of course, yes. Fortunately, they don't have in space, you know.
Right.
So, it's all your air. Well, no, that's right. They don't have air. But I'm going to tell you, and I will be honest, I have still yet to return to planet Earth. I am still riding high.
Wow.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, I will say first, yes, you can take your guide dog. They've had lots of guide dogs at the school, at the camp. Yes, you know, the shuttle itself is as long as two school buses.
Huh.
And it's high as probably three. They told me how high it was. Now, a dog would fit. Now, if you go to space, you know, getting the dog in is a different story, but they do have a way that they put in and how you could get your guide dog into the shuttle. But the whole weekend was not spent in a shuttle.
Let me take you back a little bit even further than that. Now, I know your dad was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne. And you've also gone skydiving a while back, what you described on our previous show. Did that whet your appetite to go further into space?
Well, since, you know, I'm only 27, but I remember the Mercury flights, okay? And when I saw Alan Shepard go up, I knew then I wanted to go. I just thought it was the... You know, because you go to space, you know. Now, do I want to go to Mars? No. Would I go to the moon? Probably. People want to send me, and I have no doubt I could get the $200,000 to go with contributions. But to be honest with you, I have always wanted to go. And when I went, you know, I always wonder what those, you know, because I have had vision before. But, you know, this experience gave people who were with us who didn't have vision, have never had vision, the opportunity to touch, get in a space capsule, see what it was like. You know, when you go with blind people, you get to do stuff that nobody else gets to do that's behind either glass or behind ropes. And so I will tell you there were 12 of us, 11 of us in our group, and then they added one, a person who came for his birthday. Poor guy. His name was Chris. He was coincidentally from Winchester, Virginia, and his wife gave him the trip for his birthday. So I went down a day early to meet up with, you know, a few people who came early. And then the rest of the crew came Friday morning. And now I knew one person's husband. I didn't know him. So I knew 10 of the 12.
Wow.
And, no, I'm wrong, 9. I didn't know John, and I didn't know Chris, and I didn't know Fred. Fred was Sue's, Voidy's husband. Chris was married, but his wife gave him a gift, and she had no plans on ever doing anything like this. And then John was from Virginia. So we all traveled down, and we had to show up at the space flight at the Rocket and Research Center and go through the gate. And, you know, we had all these things. You must be 6 feet apart. You have to wear a mask. You have to do – we're going to – okay. But, you know, there are 8 of us in this van who – so it's like, well, we can forget that 6 feet because we're all 8 of us already here. You know what I mean? And really 6 feet to a blind person? I don't – it's kind of hard to judge. So we all – we went in there and, you know, you have no clue what to expect. And it was even better than what I thought, you know. So the buildings that they had were enormous. Oh, they were huge. Big high ceilings, stuff hanging down like rockets and equipment, and I mean all kinds of space equipment in these places. Most of it were, you know, they had made for this, you know, for this type of an experience. There were a few of them that were real, but not everything. So what we did is we had to register that we were there. They put a band on our arm because the place is very secure, and they put, and then, you know, we had to sit down and we had to go through an orientation. They are very time conscious. So if you're a person that doesn't want to say, okay, now we're doing this, then that is not for you. Because when you're in space, they time everything. There's somebody telling, okay, it's 2 o'clock, you go do this and you go do that. The whole your 24 hours a day is you sleep when they tell you to sleep. Not when you're at, okay, it's 11 o'clock at night, I think I'll go to bed. No, it doesn't work like that. Because when you're in space, there is no time, you know.
Okay.
So we sit down, and this other strange person comes in, and here he's with, out of 12, 7 were blind. 7 had, you know, and he's looking around. And somebody asked him, well, what did you think? And he said, well, you know, I was a little apprehensive. And then after we were doing the orientation, and he said, oh, somebody says, hey, we're finished here at 8:30. We're going to the Marriott to the bar. Want to go? He said, I knew it. I knew this was for me. You know, because after we finished and everything went from 8 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. every day, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up till Sunday, we left at noon. They time everything. Well, after 8:30 at night, it's your time. So we did. They let us out, unlocked the gate, let us out, and like the lost zebras in Prince George's County, we took off. And went over to the Marriott and sat and met people and talked to each other, got to know, you know, most of the people didn't know everybody.
Okay, send it. That's
yes,
the music for our break. Let
commercial,
us come right back. All right.
Yep.
Oh, you trained. Okay, this is Cagdo about your dog and you, and I'm your host, Reverend Ray Razor. We here with Vicente LeBond that's telling us about Space Camp. And it might be something you might be interested in. And one of the gentlemen's wife gave him a gift. Now, I don't know him going out of space. But anyway, we will be back on the other side of our bump out to join Cindy to finish regaling us with some of the experience at Space Camp. Listen to that.
You are listening to Cagdo about your dog and you. Cagdo stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We are located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for guide dog users everywhere. Back to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our special guest, Cindy LeBond. Now, Cindy, I do have to remind you that what goes on at the Marriott stays at the Marriott.
At the Marriott.
Cindy, I met a guy. Okay. Let me ask you this question. Now, you brought up that you could. Okay.
That you can't bring your dog.
Yeah. Let me ask that. Now, you didn't know that before?
Yes, I did know that before. Yes.
Okay.
Now, I'll be honest.
That's what I want to know. With the experience, would you have taken Gardenia?
Yes, I would have. And I, yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And they were very disappointed that I didn't have her. They even showed me where people, they take the dogs to relieve themselves while I was there. They showed me all that. They did take me to that because there's a lot of concrete around there. I'm here to tell you. But, yes.
Okay.
It was, I'll tell you, Gardenia's going to be 11 in January, and she's working well. But I'm practicing on, you know, the weight. If she's, you know, really needs to retire quick, like she could be health. She could say, I don't want to go anymore. And I don't want her to give up on me in the airport. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think that would happen. She's too curious. But yes, I would. But after I did that experience, I just told her, I'm going to work you till your paws come off. Because this going through the airport and stuff is you trust your dog. The dog knows to go around everything. The dog knows what to do. And I'm busy trying to figure this out with a cane and stuff that if I walk by a bathroom and the dog hears a toilet flush, she thinks, oh, okay, let's go. So she thinks, okay, I know, and this is where you want to go. Men or women, she doesn't care. She'll take you. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I could not just use a cane. I couldn't do it. And you know what? I wouldn't do it. But I needed to give this a try because, you know, I have to also be fair to her on her future. You know, so I thought it's just going to be gone for 3 days. I can do this. Not easily, but I did it. But so while we were there and we got all registered, they have a huge museum, enormous, with like the Saturn V hanging from the ceiling so everybody put canes up there so they could touch it and say they touched it. They had rocket boosters. They had every kind of thing you could imagine that you have to put a space capsule together. They had, started in the Mercury, which is when Alan Shepard, John Glenn, when they went up singly in the capsules. We got into the capsule, which if you weren't blind or with us, you couldn't do. And I now know why they didn't stay long. They didn't stay long because they are very small. I'm 5'2". They're not even as tall as I am, that capsule. And if you sit down in there, you have to lie down on your back. I didn't know they went to space on their back. I put my arms out to my sides. That was touch the sides on each side. It is tight and uncomfortable, and they're strapped in.
Oh,
so
you want them?
we got to test that out and see what that was like. We tried, and after we cleared through the museum and went around and looked at some stuff was up high, so you, of course, couldn't reach it. But they were there to explain. They had a lot of staff. The staff was fabulous. And they had just worked with 70 blind kids that week, students from around the country and other countries. And after us, they had 80 the next week, not blind kids, but regular kids, you know, because the reason they separate is they put Braille everywhere that you need Braille. Every button had Braille around it. So you could you know what you're touching. Everything was brailled and printed, everything. So we after that, we did the museum. We had our dinner, great food. Oh, my God, the food was fabulous. And then we went and we, you know, spaceships have craft, I should say. They have a heat shield. So as they exit and reenter the atmosphere, this heat shield protects the capsules.
Right.
Well, we created them. We made them. And so we had different things. We had all kinds of products to make, and we worked continuously in teams of four. You were not always with your same four. You were not necessarily with your spouse. A couple of people had their spouse. That didn't mean you were working with them. So we had this heat shield that we had to create. After we made it, now mine – on my team, we had John, Holly, and Jim. And when we created, I was with Jerry, John, and Holly. I can't remember these, you know. We were on teams together, and then they'd move us around, and you were on another team.
Okay.
So we made these heat shields. Ours was made out of spackle, steel mesh, and a lasagna noodle.
Lasagna noodle. Okay.
Yes. Now, let me tell you, these people down there love fire. So we had to make it, and they gave us a votive candle, which we had to name. We named ours Fireball. Then the other team had Henry, and the other team had another name, and it was called an Extranaut. What the deal was, you know, you had to use your science skills, of which I have minimal, and how can this votive candle catch on fire? Can you make a heat shield that would protect this candle? Well, we had things we could use like cotton and felt and steel wool and how does this stuff burn? Well, you know, it was using your skills. Do you, if you have any, of which I don't. So we made, and it could not be more than a half inch thick or you were disqualified. Well, we made one. Ours, we thinking, ours is so thin. It was nothing but a spackle, a piece. And they were 6 by 6 inches. Each team made theirs. We go outside, and the people who were with us, that were working with us, they torched them. So we were not there. We were about 15 feet away. So they took each, our votive candle. I walked ours up, Fireball, with our little heat shield that we made, and they torched it. Not one thing happened. Our heat shield, it burned. But our candle didn't burn. Well, the team next to us, who had two engineers on it, thank you very much, theirs burned to a crisp. It was about the candle was about the size of your thumbnail. And the other team, I'm not so sure what happened because everybody was so, enthralled with the two engineers team of four, that theirs burned up. So that was a lot of fun. But what that shows you is the idea to work in a team and, you know, you learn what will really, you know, about, you know, when they make a heat shield, they've had them burn up before. They've had a fire on a spacecraft before.
Right.
And this is how you learn to work with products and what's good. Well, you know, spackle's good, let me tell you. So that's what we did on Friday evening, and that took time. That did take quite a bit of time. They gave us, you told them what products you want. They gave us a list. They said you can spend $100, which, of course, is just in your head, and they had a price tag on everything. And so that's how we picked our items. And, well, I knew felt burned, so I wasn't going to pick felt. So
and cotton.
Or cotton, yeah. They're going to burn. Well, you know who used that? The engineers. They didn't use the spackle like we did. So,
Now, to explain spackle to people that may not be familiar with it, I want you to explain that. And then now I want to be clear. They're sighted and blind together in class, and the expectations are the same for any team. Is that correct?
Everybody has the same expectations. You know,
okay.
And spackle is what, like, say you have a hole in your wall or something, or you take pictures down and you have to spackle over it and flatten
okay.
it out
oh,
so it'll
okay.
blend in. It's a protectant.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I think most of us pretty much probably have used spackle somewhere. You know, you buy it in a little jar.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
You can fix holes in your anything you want to seal up. It's
okay.
You know,
okay.
And
okay.
so and then
okay.
they had a whole list of items, and your team chose spackle. Is that
we
what
we chose?
That, how it
that some of the one of the other teams had some spackle, but they had other things that you know there's. You know,
that
but that
burned.
Middle team, those engineers, that, you know, well, and then
yeah,
they
but,
did
but
tell us when we were done, whenever they have engineers down there, they'll have businesses come down to bring their employees for team building and leadership training, and they burn everything up. So,
my understanding, you had a list,
right.
And you could choose from the list anything that you thought would would
you, had
burning.
You had to buy.
So you had,
you had,
you
to,
had
buy.
To buy
it.
You had to buy it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
we didn't exchange anything. It's all in your head,
right.
but it had a price.
Right.
They, you had
right.
you could have large print, regular print, or braille. Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So
well,
they
Cindy,
knew
let,
when
let
you got
go.
Went. What?
Okay. So, Cindy, let me go back to something you were saying. I want to get more clear understanding. You were saying about when you went into this capsule, and you and I did not understand that. That they had to lie down.
Yeah.
You know, all of us think it's like Star Trek. People sitting at a console and sitting at a
exactly.
chair.
Exactly.
So,
well, we'll get to that in the shuttle. But go ahead.
Okay, right. But when you all did this, and I know y'all are monitored in terms of time. Could you opt out? Say like if you had claustrophobia and you know that could.
Oh, you didn't even have to get in
out?
If you didn't want to. That's up to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's totally
okay.
up to you. And
okay,
for people who are blind and don't know what they're shaped like a dunce cap or a funnel.
Oh.
That's what they're shaped like.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Huh. Oh, how long did you have to stay in it when you laid down?
Oh, about 2 seconds, long enough to get in and get out. The person behind. Yeah, it was up to you. You know, it was just the museum
okay.
walking around, and we sort of had the museum
okay.
to ourselves. So
I
they
see.
Made a lot of items available to us. Now, if you walked in there, if Renee went in there by herself with a bunch of strangers and she put a stick up at that or a big long cane up at that Saturn V, I don't think they would be too happy, you know,
I got you.
But they let us do it.
Right, right,
you
right.
You know, yes,
right.
they would let
okay.
us do it. So
okay,
we did our heat shield.
Go ahead. Right.
Go on. No, what'd you want to ask? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, you say you did your heat shield and then go ahead.
Oh, and we made our heat shield, and then we torched them. They torched them. We didn't.
Hmm.
There were people around all the time. They have a lot of students that are interested in space. People are interested
oh, okay.
in, you know, sciences and so forth. That's who works in there. A lot of young kids. I don't mean they're not kids. They're in their 20s. Maybe.
Right.
Some are older. In fact, there's a lot of older people. You know, I don't know his last name. I don't remember. Christopher, who went to space on Inspiration, right, the flight before William Shatner. He works there. He is a counselor
okay.
there.
Oh.
And so, and yeah, and he got to go. You know, he was a guest. So
wow.
what we did then the next morning, Will, one of the guys with us, he'd said, "Okay, I will
minute,
get
not
come
Will,
by." And
not Will, not what? Not Will Robinson? No, I'm just
no.
kidding. No, okay.
You wish. So he says, "Okay, I'm going to come by at 7:30 and get everybody up."
Don't, Okay, Cindy, they go to music with Will Robinson right on the podcast. All righty. That Will Robinson. Okay, Will Robinson. Okay, this is Tag Dude about your dog and you. And our special guest is Miss Cindy LeVar with Miss Gardenia, who did not get to go to space this time.
No, she's mad.
I can imagine. So we're going to be back on the other side of the break to pick this up. And hopefully Gardenia has not gobbled Cindy up by then. So, Miss Renee.
Let's hope.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo Pet Store located on Earth in the Tacoma Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. If your earthbound dog needs it, they have it. They have door-to-door deliveries in the DMV. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. 202-747-3434. And back over to Reverend Radio Ray for a look into Charlie's Corner.
All righty. Now, we started Charlie's Corner a year ago, and of course, one of the founders of the CAGDU About Your Dog and You was Charlie Crawford, and we had a segment at this time called Charlie's Corner. Charlie C. Brought information from and to the DMZ. All righty. So, sadly lost Charlie last year on September 9/11, and we honor him from time to time on this segment, and it was sponsored by the Silver Springs the Silver Springs ACB chapter. A lot of people say, why do they call themselves the National? What is the National Capital Area Chapter? I guess they represent all of that area up there. But anyway, and the president currently is Pat Sheehan, which has been a co-host on our show, and we do this particular segment, and we call it Pat's Place. But anyway, so we're having a new co-host named Wendy Harrod, and she's out of Philadelphia, has a guide dog named Bianca, and she has written several children books along with her grandson about their experience with her guide dog. So she'll be with us every second Friday of the month, and we will do her segment called Wendy's Way. All righty. So this segment was brought to you by the National Capital Area Chapter, ACB Chapter in Silver Springs. They meet the third Thursday of every month at 7 o'clock. And if you're interested to get more information, you can call the president, Pat Sheehan. His number is 301-585-1503. Again, that's Pat Sheehan. The president is 301-585-1503. Back over to you, Ms. Renee, to reintroduce our guest.
Well, William Shatner recently went into space, claiming the oldest man to go where no man has gone before. Now, nipping at his heels is Cindy LeBron.
Hey, watch it. I'm not 90.
Will she be the first blind woman to break the glass ceiling? Stay tuned to hear more of her adventure going to space camp.
You have an imagination. Well, I will tell you. Let me tell you, the beds and when you go to space, when we were staying there, remember we were sleeping in space, so our sleeping area was a lot like, no, we didn't have to stand up like they do. We had beds. Were they comfortable? That would be no. But that's okay. Wasn't in it that long. They had great showers, great food, great staff, and remember, I tried to send a text that night from my room, and I couldn't because I had no windows. They don't have windows in space like that. Yeah, we didn't have windows.
Wow.
So the rooms were small, but they were big enough you could have several people in there. But then it was more like a dorm-type setting because that was the thing that was a little different. You know, we weren't holding on to poles because we weren't weightless.
Okay.
On Saturday, they said, we'll get you up at 7:30. I'll knock on your door. Well, when they came at 7:30, we were all gone because we were out walking.
Right.
You know, so not like
right.
the kids. And so 8 o'clock breakfast. What they did for breakfast is, and it was cafeteria style where they would fix, and because of COVID now, remember, we had to wear masks. They fed us out of, not on dishes, but in boxes because of COVID. They were very, very conscious of COVID. So we went and it was a buffet or a cafeteria. They would fix our plates, and then there were people there to take them to our boxes, take them to the table for us. So you didn't have to worry about getting around or anything like that. They didn't hang on to you and treat you like you were helpless or anything like that. And we've all had that experience. And
yes.
We all know that one. And so what we did is we had breakfast. They had docents going around talking to us.
Okay.
Yeah, so they would tell us what they did at the Space Center. Or woman I worked with, she had just retired September 30th. And what she did, she purchased the products that went in the shuttle or on the shuttle.
Wow.
And
you
which
don't
I
think
thought,
about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think about
yeah.
this. And so she
no,
had
you
to
don't.
Be present. No, she had to be present every time a craft went to space. There are thousands of people all over the country that are just for that spacecraft to take off, that work 24/7, thousands. And so she had to be present. And now she wasn't there when the last time the shuttle went up, but she sat there and she says, you know, I guess it was in September, we sent three people to the shuttle, and a couple came back. She said, oh, you know what? I bought that part. Oh, I bought that. Oh, I bought every time they mentioned something on the spacecraft, she said, oh, I bought that, you know. So, and she said, which was kind of exciting. She says it was difficult. It was a hard job. She was an engineer and a scientist, so, you know.
Mm.
So, and they had somebody who had been an astronaut, and they had four people. And they talked at each table. They'd go around and talk to us while we had breakfast. As soon as breakfast was over, they ran us out to a field, broke us up again in groups of four. We had to do team building, which meant if you've been to Cracker Barrel and you've played that little game that they give you with all the little you know, the little triangle game, and you have the little pegs, and you pull them out and try to get down to one.
Right.
We had to do – we did it. We got to one in 20 minutes on my team.
Wow.
So
and let me
what
just
they
explain
use,
to people who may not have seen that. It is a triangle, and it has pegs in it, and you can only move by jumping. You can jump one peg at a time, right? Is that the rule?
Right.
Okay. So,
then key is to get down to one. Well, of course, it was in the field, and they used those big orange cones.
Oh,
and they were numbered.
Okay.
But I couldn't see them, and I think, I don't know if I was, I can't remember, because we kept bumping, switching teams all the time. So they had numbers on them. So I was holding a piece of styrofoam cut into that triangle with the pegs in it. So I started out and I said, well, I'll take out peg number two. So they took out the cone number two. Then the person, whoever, to my right or whatever, said, okay, I'll jump this cone over that cone. Okay. And then I took out the cone. They said they took out cone five. I said, okay. Then I took out peg five. They were all brailled for me. Everything is brailled, large print or regular print. And if you needed to use something like a ruby or a magnification, they had that too.
Uh-huh.
So you were never without. You didn't have to. Yeah. So then we did that. We had to come up with three words to devise our leadership. Ours were communicate, goals, and respect were the three things that we had to, as our four participants, that we had to abide by.
Hmm.
So each of our teams had to do that. So we did that, then we moved to the next one. And that one was you had to walk and step over block, go into squares. And you had to be able to make it through the entire, it was going across, it was 1 through 8. Going down, it was 1 through 9. So 5, I'm sorry. And it was a square, and they gave me, again, a piece of styrofoam, and they sort of put like, I guess it was like shoestrings to make the squares, and they brailled them.
Hmm.
So I started at H5, and I stepped to G5. And the guy said, if I say yes, you can stay, and then go to the next one. So I went to G5. He said yes. I went, yay. So then I said, he said, move again. So I went left, and I stepped into G4. He said no. I had to get out. So the next person stepped on my H5, went to G5, and then they went to G6, and he got to stay. Then he went up a couple more, but then he got booted off. So the third person had to follow that same trail.
So you had to follow whatever the person had done before. I got you.
Yes.
Let me go back just for a second. There are some prerequisites for being able to even be here. When you're talking about all of this moving, and I did a little research, and I know that you have to be at least 18 years old, and you have to be between 5 feet and 6 feet 4 inches tall, and between 110 and 223 pounds. Okay. But this is what I found interesting. Now, I hear you talking about all of this moving. You have to be able to climb 7 flights of stairs in a 1.5 minutes. Did you have to do that?
We did not have to do that. No, we did not have to. They do have a weight requirement. They do have that. They have stuff for kids between 9 to 18. Then you enter the adult program, at which they have some limits. You know, you can't. They do have a weight limit. There is a height limit. You know, there is not a stupid limit, or I would not have been there, because I am not a science person at all. Okay? Not at all. But
wait, we did all of this.
Huh? So I'm getting to the show. Now,
okay. And I want to get to that. Now, is it accurate what I read, that you have to be able to fasten and unfasten a seat harness in less than 15 seconds?
I have no clue, because they put the harnesses on us.
Gotcha.
In space you do, and maybe when we go on our next 6-day trip, you do.
6-day.
So they have tighter requirements. Yes, there are tighter requirements.
And one of the requirements is that you have to be able to spend 1.5 hours strapped into a capsule with the hatch closed. And, of course, that eliminates all the people with anxiety and claustrophobia. You will not be going. Yeah, you will not be going.
That's on their test to go to space. That is one of their tests. But we didn't have to do
that. That is part of it.
Yes,
wow.
That is one of their requirements. Yep.
Now, did you get a chance to experience weightlessness?
We got to start, and I'm getting right there. So after we did this, then we went inside, and it's getting close to lunch. And they had us test where, good thing they did it before lunch instead of after. So we took turns for 45 seconds, and I do have videos. And what you do is you sit in this chair, and we took turns, and they strap you in, and you have to put your feet in a specific way. And what it is back when you go to space and you came back, this is how it used to always be, is you flipped over upside down, sideways, round and round, all kinds of – and it hurt. Well, I would say it hurts, but it jerks you. Well, we got to experience the return of space before we actually went. And I sat in the – and when my turn came, I sat in the – out of 12 of us, only one started and said, I can't do that. I have to – because I got too anxious. They stopped, and they let it chew out right out. It's okay. Nobody threw up, but they said that does happen.
Oh, God.
Yes, it does. It can happen. So I sit in a chair. They strap me in. It takes off. Well, I knew it was going to flip around, but I didn't know, like, when you return from space, you enter the atmosphere, it jerks you. And, I mean,
oh.
I jerked to the right, then I jerked backwards, and next I went forward, and I went over my head, upside down, came back around. Went, oh, my God. And it seems like you're there for an hour, but it was only 45 seconds.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know what? But it was a wonderful experience. We all loved it, and we're grateful it was before launch. It is a chair that astronauts train in. The difference
okay.
is now when they train them, they have a lever, and they have to try keep it upright. So this doesn't happen anymore.
Oh, okay.
And that takes a lot of – yeah. But remember, they do this for years. We did this in
right.
2 days. And so
wow.
it was a – it's something you want to experience. You know, you want the – is it fun? Yeah. So we – uh-oh.
Okay.
Now we're going to go to the shuttle. When you come back.
Well, you're listening to Cagdu about your dog and you, and our very special guest is special sister Cindy LeVon and Miss God being her guide dog. And I want to ask Cindy when we come back on the other side, what number guide dog is this for her, and what was her experience with her first guide dog? So we'll be back on the other side, and then she'll tell you about the shuttle. Miss Renee.
So you are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU is Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we're located here in the nation's capital. Back over to Reverend Ray and our special guest, moonbound or spacebound, Cindy LeVon.
Capsule Cindy. Cindy, so real quick, tell us a little bit about you getting your first guide dog. What was your first guide dog? What was the experience? And then
this
that,
is
that
number one.
On?
This is number one. And I got
oh, really?
Her October 17th, 2012.
Oh, this is,
now,
I did not realize this was your first guide dog.
But
okay.
I have been around guide dogs all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to get her, they thought I had had a dog before. I said, but I had just been around them.
Okay.
I've always been with dogs. So it was pretty easy for me. You know, I knew I watched people do all the commands. I had never touched
right.
a guide dog before unless they were unharnessed and at their house playing. Otherwise, in harness, I never did. I knew, I've always known not to touch. And I go in my head sometimes and I think, how did I know? But when I was about four, my mom's friend would come for dinner who she worked with, and he'd bring his dog. And my mom would say, you know, she never made me think like, well, you know, you're going to go blind or you're going to need a dog, because my vision was good. I could read up on the wall in Subway and read the menu. And then, but when I got Gardenia, you know, I mean, it was like my world changed. I never dreamed that I'd say, mom would say when I was four, Cindy, someday maybe you'll have a dog like this. I said, I don't want a dog like that. Dog's lazy. He didn't do anything but lay there. And I said, he doesn't even beg at the table. He just lays there. And you know what? Little did I know that I would have a dog. And then one day I woke up with no vision at all, and I said, getting a dog. I sat in the doctor's office. All I talked about was getting a dog. He was trying to talk about, well, let's see if we can – we got to see about getting rid of this blood clot, that maybe it'll dissolve. We can do this. I said, well, I'm calling school and getting a dog. So that's what I did.
So,
I came home, and they said, well, you have to learn how to use a cane. I said, but I don't want to. They
ooh.
Said, but you have to. Yeah. Because you have to.
So, Cindy, so you decided to get a dog because you lost the rest of your sight.
Yes. Now, I didn't, my vision, every school, all of them said my vision was too good. But somebody said, you know, if you had worked at a rehab center, you know, in that, they could have helped you get the dog because, now, not that they could, Maybe they could have helped you. But, you know, every school, I worked with all of them, and everyone said, you're walking the dog. You need to let the dog walk you. But when I could see the wait sign in the middle of the day at the street light, then you know I could see too good. And I know I could. I know I could.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who could see as well as I could. You know, I didn't have RP, where I can understand they have straight out vision, but they can't see their feet or the food on their plate.
Right.
So that I understand, you know, and I understand a lot of the visions. But
now, Tim, you touched on something I want to touch on real quick. You work with some of the puppy raisers, right, that raise puppies, correct? Okay, so tell us a little bit about
gardenias.
That.
Well,
really?
Gardenia's puppy raiser kept her on the weekend that I was at space camp. And it's like, does she act and treat Gardenia like she's still her dog? No. Gardenia knows she's not her handler. She knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll say to me, well, how do you want Gardenia to sit? Do you think she wants to get in the back of the van, or do you want to think she wants to sit in the floor in front of you? We get in the car. That's what she asks me. So I'll say to the dog, well, where do you want to sit? She'll usually go to the back of the van because these dogs travel in van and get it. Gigi opens the back end and Gardenia jumps in and gets in the crate because she has crates in the back. So it's always my decision. You know, she doesn't try to treat her like she's her dog.
Anything
like that.
But you have worked with puppy raisers that raise puppies and all, right?
I've gone to some of the meetings and talked to people who want to raise puppies, you know, and I'll say this is how it is. And, you know, they do counseling with them to let them know this is not your dog. You know, this dog may end up with a different career than guiding. Some dogs want to be sniffer dogs. Gardenia would have been great at ATF. She loves them. But, I mean, and some dogs don't want to do it at all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, let's get back to outer space. Scott, you beam us up. Okay.
I've got a couple of questions to ask. One is, how does a person go about having this great experience enrolling in space camp?
Well, I will tell you, if you have a child, they have trips all the time, weeks all the time. They bring kids from all over the world. Now, in September, they have the week that they bring the blind students. Now, next year, they'll probably have more than what they had up now because reason is that COVID kept it down. We had 12 because of COVID, you know, spacing and all that kind of stuff. So the week four adult space camp that we're going to do next year is the last weekend of September. They're moving it back a week.
Okay.
So when the Friday morning, when the blind kids leave, then the blind adults and their, we can still have sighted people, you know.
Okay.
But it makes it, like I said, we had 5 sighted, fully sighted.
Okay.
So after lunch, that's when we did, for the next few hours, we did space. I worked in Mission Control, which, of course, is not in the shuttle. It's in Houston. But I was in Huntsville. It started with an H. And there were about 6 of us in there. I did the I was a capsule communicator. So I was the one that talked directly to the space shuttle, to the captain and the commander, to tell them that, you know, when they do a countdown, which is done by the spacecraft director, and then I told them as the boosters were departing the craft and where they were located, and they're entering space. Now, the pilot and commander have a computer screen, and if they have vision, they see exactly what an astronaut can see as they're leaving the planet and going into space and it's getting darker. And you have these headsets on that each earpiece is about the size of your head because they cancel out any outside noise. Like what they have. In front of me, I had a computer monitor, which of course I couldn't see, but I had a keypad and I could push the buttons for what I needed to hear.
Okay.
And they were brailled. On the panel, there were buttons for when to talk. When I wanted to talk, I hit the button to talk to the commander and the pilot. Those are the only two I could talk to. Then I had another button, and if I raised up, if on A, I could talk to the flight director, and on B, I could talk to the pilot and the commander. They could hear me.
Hmm.
And then I had three Braille books to read.
Okay.
That was tough, and I was giving them commands in space of what to do and when to do it. They were telling me what they had, and then an alarm went off. That meant we had trouble. Yes, you're going to have trouble. So, now, our spacecraft did not catch on fire. The other one did, or another one did. Today's didn't, but I know somebody soon did. Then you have the people who are outside the spacecraft doing repairs, and you have people in the space lab, which is below the main part of the shuttle. They're doing experiments. Well, I didn't talk to them either. So all 12 of us had jobs. So I worked on that until, and it was considered a four-day mission. We were on the shuttle Endeavor. And we had staff all over around us helping us, you know, because do you know how to do this stuff? Heck no, I never laughed so hard in my life because the commander and pilot were making me. They're going, I think we're lost out here. Oh, my God, look at those stars. We're getting closer. And I'm laughing, and there is somebody telling them what to do, but that part I couldn't hear. I couldn't stop laughing. You know, it was so much fun.
I've got to ask one question. Now, there is a race to exploit space tourism, and right now it's going to cost about $450,000 a ticket, and Jeff Bezos has already sold $100 million worth of tickets. Do you think that is the way to explore this new frontier?
I know some of these people really want to explore, you know. I don't know. They said this is giving NASA an opportunity to do some more research in space by people paying and using their own money just to go up and cruise around, that NASA now can really do some real work. That's what they told us. They're able to get out there and explore and put money where, you know, where they believe it needs to go.
So, Cindy, real quick. I would like you to share with us, this is done in September, and anybody who wants to send their spouse out of space, share with us how would they go about booking this, and give us approximately what it would cost for that program plus getting there. If you can give us what it cost us,
it cost us $549 to go. Larry Pavanelli, whose wife works down there, she's one of the great engineers, blind engineers. She's blind. He sighted. Now, he used to be blind, but when I lost my vision, he got his back. He stole my vision. But that's I let him drive me around.
Yeah, Ree, he's the one that has had the law partnership with Paul Keck.
Right, right.
Correct.
I remember. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Great guy. Fabulous guy. Great wife. Wonderful. Yeah. They're fabulous. So he sort of said he has done this before. I want to do this exact thing again. So we got a group together. You know, so that we wanted to be together. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that everything was set up for us. But next summer, we'll start advertising around through your show, through NFB, AECB, any of the blind groups, and see if people want to go. I paid $549. I flew down straight to Huntsville from D.C. nonstop. The airport is so easy to get through. I don't even think you need a cane, and there was nobody in it. You just walk out, get off the plane, turn right, and walk out the door. It's a little tiny airport.
What kind of price was that for
my airfare?
A round trip.
You won't believe it, $133, because I did it on a. Yeah, if you do it on a Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that.
Ground transportation from the airport, and how far are you from the
airport? Oh, it's real close. I don't know how other people go, but my transportation was called Larry.
Oh, okay.
If you have enough and you come on Friday morning, they pick you up and they will return you. But I went a day ahead.
How many days is this? You went a day early.
It's from Friday at noon. You check in at 2. Okay. And and you can't leave before like 2 or 3 on Sunday if you want to leave.
Okay.
Because you have to have your graduation on Sunday.
Oh, graduation? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We got a certificate and we got flight wings.
Wow. Wow.
But what I wanted to tell you. Yeah, but
what
I wanted to tell you, to get into the spacecraft, if you go into the shuttle, they have, when I went in, I climbed a ladder that was about, the rungs were about, the top couple of rungs were about the thickness of a straw. They start wide at the bottom, but the width is not even the size of your foot. And as you climb up and you get in, the spacecraft itself is about as thick as from your fingertip to your shoulder, because I measured it. And when I got up at the top rung and I went to get in, I thought, well, I can't turn around. It's too thick. I wonder how they get in. It's a porthole. It's a hole to slide through. So I went in on my belly. That probably wasn't the brightest. And the guy, the staffer, says, you know, if you were in space, who knows where you'd end up? Because there are no floors in the shuttle. There's no floors.
Right.
You're walking in space.
Wow.
He said, yeah, that's just floated back down to the...
Our time is up, Cindy. This has been really exciting. I know. Thank you.
It was the most wonderful trip. And I wanted, anybody wants to go, just reach out, because we're going back.
Okay. And
we're
going to
do the 6-day.
And we'll have you on again, and hopefully you can we can arrange where we'll have you and Paul Papinelli on together to make the invite to people and give them all the 411. So we will arrange that, okay? So
we got to do this.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Next year, Gardenia's going.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye.
All righty. Okay.
Bye-bye.
I know
have a good one.
Bye-bye. All right. Ms. Renee, I know we're over time, but...
over time. So you have been listening to TAGDU, About Your Dog and You, Capital Area Guide Dog Users, located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is... CAGDU2020@gmail.com. That's CAGD as in David, U2020@gmail.com. Want to listen to this show again or a past show? Go to our website, CAGDU.org, or you can call us at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371. Thanks for listening, and tune in for more information about guide dogs and you.